Good afternoon, everyone. This is Steve Nelson from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the weekend newsletter covering the general market for Sunday, August 8th. Hopefully, you're all having a terrific weekend, and I'm actually going to break this up into a few parts. I'm going to actually do a quick weekend comment for those of you who only need a quick review and want to get back to drinking your Mai Tais, so be it. And then I'm going to go through a more extensive market analysis and wrap it up by taking a look at a few indicators. And there are a couple of new indicators that we're going to present today as well. Again, price is king, and we make or lose money based upon price action. So always keep that in mind. Okay, in terms of last week, quick synopsis, we saw that the major indexes outside of the Russell, small caps, gained approximately 1.5 to 2%. So we saw the indexes pull back in reaction to the weaker jobs numbers, but recover after holding the trend line and gap support and reduce those losses for the trading session on Friday. And overall, as I said before, close up between 1.5 and 2% outside of the Russell. Clearly, and I've talked about this over the past week or so, the small caps have been lagging and have yet to confirm the recent highs on the Dow and the S&P. That's one of the items that at this time would go into the bears' camp. In terms of economic releases, we have a pretty strong docket next week. And as you can see, we see wholesale inventories coming out on Tuesday. We've got the FOMC rate decision, Fed meeting, Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe again. I have to check and see when they're due for their decision. Oh, I guess it is on Tuesday. Pardon me, it is on Tuesday, their rate decision. And, of course, that is always a market event to pay attention to. And then at the end of the week, we've got CPI and retail sales. So overall, fairly busy week, headlined by the FOM rate decision coming out on Tuesday, 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, here's my brief weekend comment, and this is something that I've talked about for the last several sessions and updated on Friday based upon Friday's action. What I say here is this. Currently, there are some valid bullish and bearish technical arguments. Let's stop there. For the bullish arguments, the uptrend remains in place. The indexes remain above their key moving averages. So price at this time is supporting the bullish case, our moving averages. Certain indicators are still pointing upward with no divergence, if you look at the daily MACD, for example. And then if you go to the weekly charts, you can look and see that we may be close to a bullish cross on the weekly MACD. So again, there are some bullish arguments, and there are some bearish technical arguments. In the bearish camp would be the fact that momentum in the near term on this decline, on this advance, is declining. So we're seeing divergences clearly, as you can see in chart 4, on the 60-minute chart on our MACD and RSI. And that goes along with a bearish pattern that's in place, and that is a rising wedge pattern. Now, normally, a rising wedge pattern will resolve to the downside. It's a bearish pattern. But again, until it breaks and holds below that lower trend line, and in this case, the gap, we have to be on the lookout for a false break and maybe a break and hold out of the wedge to the upside. So again, we're going to keep an open mind, respect the price action that's occurring, and trade in accordance to what is developing with price. Our indicators are all fine and dandy. They help us clear our head, make sure that what we're seeing in price is confirmed or not, but ultimately it all boils down to price. And those who get caught up in indicator after indicator, lose focus on price. And this is where money is made or lost. Simple as that. So, terms of chart four, again, we're either in the very bullish short-term count, we're either now going to be getting our wave three of three up, which should be a strong move, or we're going to have a breakdown of this wedge. Either we've made the high at 1128.75, or we could have one slight overthrow, getting people bullish, and then have a quick reversal. Those are shown in red. Now, if we do resolve to the downside, there is still a bullish alternative, and that is that we would simply be a leading diagonal on the whole move up, and we would have a deep retrace. So to be clear, if we do resolve to the downside, I'm looking at a target down around 1055 to 1070 under either the bullish or bearish case initially. If it's the bearish case, we are not going to simply stop there. We're going to go to lower prices over time. Perhaps we have a bounce off of that area. Under the bullish scenario, we would stop going down in that area and then regather momentum to the upside. So again, any break below Friday's lows opens up the door for a move to the downside. Now, if we come down and it lacks momentum, we have a slight undercut or retest of Friday's lows, that's different. But any good push through Friday's lows swings the odds heavily in favor of at a minimum, a pullback, and a pullback that I believe will be taking us down 50 to 62% minimally of this advance over time. And it could be an ABC where we come down in A, come back up in B, then down in C. But again, Friday's lows on all of the indexes are something to make note of if you are in the long side position looking for any type of exit off of the indexes. So that wraps up the simple, quick outlook. Again, please be aware that we could get a false break on this wedge, getting people bullish, only to see it turn down. This is where it gets tricky in wedges. Normally, they do a fake out. So the key on a rising wedge to know if it's going to be a successful breakout or not is if it breaks out of the wedge, it should remain above the upper trend line of the wedge, not look back. End of story. Okay, let's now move on to a quick review of Friday's action, and I'm going to be very quick. As I talked about on Thursday night, we had the Bollinger Bands pinching together. We were likely to get a gap. We got a gap off of the news to the downside. It moves fast and furious, making for very difficult trading unless you're on top of your game, in early, pre-market, and ready to react. If you were positioned prior to the move and you were positioned bearishly, super. Okay. You benefited from that news and the initial reaction. How you manage the trade thereafter is your choice in accordance with your objectives. But clearly, the consolidation that occurred up until the jobs data was calling for a significant move. We got that. Then, as the session went along, we saw that the downside momentum was easing. We went laterally for hours on Friday. And as that transpired, we saw the 10-minute, as you can see in chart 7, Bollinger Bands begin to come together, and we were setting up once again for a significant move. Now, whether that was going to be to the upside or downside remained to be seen, but the longer it consolidated, the fact that the consolidation itself helped take it through the downtrend line started to swing the odds back towards the bullish side. And boom, out of this tight consolidated pattern on the 10-minute, we got a sharp move to the upside. Now, if we go to chart 8, which is a simple 5-minute chart, you can see what transpired on Friday. First of all, we had the large gap down. Very difficult to chase or get on board on a large gap down. But what did the market provide us? It provided us with a very objective entry, and that was a retrace back up to the resistance area. If you were in the blog, I posted a 618 retracement on ES, and that's exactly where the market stopped. If you were looking at a 5-minute chart with a 20 or 50 EMA, this chart doesn't show that. You will see that price stopped right at that area. On this chart, you can see price stopped at the 50 moving average on the 5-minute chart and then began to turn down. So in terms of an objective short with a stop just overhead, this was a very objective short, as you can see. Then we plunged to the downside, began trading laterally. Matt drew in a nice little trend line here. You can see the moving averages came together, and boom, back to the upside. So truthfully, we had a couple of nice setups during the day, one to the short side, one to the long side, in terms of intraday trading. Enough said. By the way, you can see that in terms of a buy signal, the stochastics, again on the 5-minute, crossing back above 20 was a nice confirming signal. Okay, moving on to look at the major indexes. I'm going to do my best to get through this quickly. You can see the weekly Bollinger Bands in chart 10. They're now trying to get back above their 20-week moving average, which is the middle band on the weekly Bollinger Bands. Clearly, the Dow is leading, followed by the S&P. And then if you look below, you can and the NDX, you can see that the smaller cap Russell and NASDAQ is lagging somewhat. So at this stage, it's inconclusive, as we have a couple of indexes above, a couple of indexes below. So for now, the 20-week moving average in general is still a resistance zone. In terms of the weekly charts, as I talked about in my introduction, keep an eye on the MACD, which is trying to cross up back above the zero area, get a bullish cross back above its signal line. Will it do that, or will it get a bearish hook down? We shall see. Chart 11 is a daily view of the indexes along with the Bollinger Bands. Here you can see the indexes on the daily time frame remain above their rising 20-day moving average, and they're bounded by their upper Bollinger Band. No changes from Friday. Chart 12, monthly view of the S&P, self-explanatory, you can see that. Chart 13 is a weekly view of the S&P. Here you can see that we are back once again in this 1120 area. We have been around this 1120 area so many times over the last year and a half, I can't tell you. This is seemingly the battle zone in general of the entire market, right around this area. This is the 50% retracement of the entire decline. It also happens to be the 50% retracement of our move from 1220 in April down to our July lows. There are many factors along with moving averages coming in around this area. So again, we'll see how things resolve. Again, we're keeping an eye on our indicators on the weekly charts. Our stochastics are moving to the upside. We have yet to get a bullish cross back on the MACD. It's close, but it's not there. Also encouraging for the bulls would be that at least for 1 week, the RSI closed back above the 50 area. Again, too premature to call anybody a victor at this stage. Chart 14, daily view of the S&P. You can see the rising wedge pattern, but the fact of the matter is it is still holding above its key moving averages as well as the lower trend line. No divergence yet in place on our MACD, but there is some slight divergence as you can see on the histogram. Chart 15 is a bigger picture view of the S&P. What I've drawn in black are predominant longer term trend lines off of our high. These are parallel lines and something to be respected. The green dashed lines are simple two-point advances. You can see that form somewhat wedge patterns. I don't view those as important. They're simple guidelines. But again, this is a longer-term chart that I'm keeping an eye on. So in terms of resistance, I'm looking at the middle band. And in terms of support, I'm looking at the lower black band. Within those bands, I'm looking at a Kelter channel that I've put in here with a standard deviation of 3, which has contained the moves for the most part up and down, and that is the resistance area to the upside around 1154. Happens to tie in nicely with my middle channel line with support below, as you can see, down around 1054. This will change over time, but the Kelter channel is right now between my two major trend lines. Again, this is a bigger picture chart, something that may or may not help you out depending on your trading time frame horizon. Chart 16. Let's revisit this potential head and shoulders topping pattern on the S&P. Initially, we were talking about this forming with a break below the 1040 neckline. However, even in my statement back in late June, I said the MACD has refused to go down and to be on the lookout for a potential false break to the downside like we saw in the summer of 2009, trapping a bunch of bears and then reversing up. So here the divergence played out. Since then we've been grinding up, but we've been doing so and forming a bearish rising wedge. So again, is this simply a more complex right shoulder forming and that will ultimately lead to a downside resolution? Only time will tell. For now, we've covered the short term, but in terms of the bigger picture, should we start breaking down, breaking below our support levels, over time this pattern would measure to a much deeper decline, especially getting below the downward slanting neckline as drawn. So again, this is a bigger picture chart, and only time will tell if this will be effective or not. And if it is to be effective, we're going to need some downside action beginning to transpire without a lot more upside in terms of the S&P. Chart 17 is the Elliott Wave bearish count. I've covered this. Again, this remains valid whether the high's in place or it needs one more throw up. Throw over remains to be seen, but this still remains valid as of Friday. The alternative bearish count would have us declining, but not precipitously, would come down and retest our lows, maybe slightly undercut those lows, whereas the EWI bearish count would have us going down a great deal further. So again, both of these are similar type counts, and both would argue for the rising wedge resolving to the downside. And then the question would be the nature and extent of the decline. But under either of these resolving to the downside, we should get a nice trading opportunity to be short. In terms of another thing to consider out of the rising wedge is the fact that every time we've advanced, we've had approximately a 50% pullback compared to the previous advance. And that's what also occurred on our latest advance decline into Friday's low. It was an approximately 50% decline compared to the recent advance. So the other thing that we're seeing is each rebound has equaled approximately a 618 fib of the previous rebound, which would give us a target up around 1131. Again, this would be another pop-up, retest of the highs, maybe a slight overthrow before turning down. Again, this is what's been transpiring. Can the pattern break? Yes. But for now, this is something that I thought worthwhile to point out, as well as the fact that we've been on a a 5 to 9 day cycle. The fifth day that I talked about was August 6th. The other days would carry us into early next week. Perhaps it's the Fed day that we get a more significant turn. Let's talk about something else, and this is very simple. Chart 20. This shows, in terms of the advances and declines, how many weeks it's taken to move so many points. As you can see, going back to our lows in 2009, these advances in a similar period of time or less negated the previous declines. However, recently we've seen a 2-week decline followed by a 5-week advance, and we've yet in 5 weeks to overcome the previous decline. So this chart would be evidence and supportive of the bearish case that it's taken 5 weeks to basically get back, recover what we lost in 2 weeks to the downside. Again, just a feather or a argument that would go in the bear's camp. Does it mean it has to turn down? No. But like anything else, trading is about probabilities, and this is one that gives the bears some ammunition. In terms of time windows, here we are. I show the GAN. The GAN dates are due around the 10th, 11th, which comes in around, Tuesday, Wednesday. So again, here we're back to these 9 trading bars, again, into that time frame. Will this play out? We shall see. But it's good to know in advance when there is a potential time window to turn on. Chart 22 is the bullish scenario. Here again, I talked about it before, a 1-2-1-2. Under this scenario, we should be impulsing up. The alternative would be that our decline on Friday was simply wave A. This bounce is wave B, could be done or close to done, and then we'll move down in wave C over time, back down around the 1055, 1070 area perhaps. Those are the two bullish scenarios. One would have us going up continuously from here. The other would have us ABCing down and holding around the 618 fib approximately of the entire decline. Okay, the remaining charts I'm going to skip over. They're for your viewing. They cover the weekly, daily, 60-minute, and in some cases 30-minute time frames with respect to the Dow, the NASDAQ, as well as the Russell. One thing I will point out about the NASDAQ, as you can see on the weekly chart, so far we've got a potential little head and shoulders topping pattern there that is, as of now, holding time symmetry as well. We've got 14 weeks on the left shoulder, 14 weeks on the right shoulder. How this plays out remains to be seen, but I'm pointing out that fact as of tonight. Again, let's skip over these charts. If you're trading these indexes, again, pay attention to Friday's lows, which correspond nicely with the rising trend line on most of these charts. Even the Russell, which broke through some trend lines, if you drew a parallel trend line like I did in chart 32 off of the highs, it found support right there. So if you're drawing proper trend lines, you take them off the highs or lows and you run parallel lines off of a previous lower high, and you can see we found support right at that lower trend line, which happened to find support again around this green trend line that the index has bounced off of a couple of times. Again, doesn't mean it has to hold on the next test, but on this test, that was an area to look for a potential bounce. And lo and behold, that's exactly where it bounced. Chart 33, again, a Russell view. Let's move on and now and discuss a few indicators. And then below, I've got our the indicator table. These are a few indicators that aren't in the indicator table. They're auxiliary indicators, and I thought I would just touch upon a few of them. We've got the S&P percentage of stocks above their 50-day moving average, currently at 71. Again, any move up into this area starts to get us into overbought, but as you can see, we've oftentimes got up to even 90% before becoming extremely overbought, and we can remain overbought for a period of time. One guideline that I like to follow for weakening is when it comes, when this indicator starts pulling below its 20-day moving average. Simple as that, and right now it's well above it. Let's move on now to a breadth indicator, and this is the New York Advanced Decline Issues. And as you can see, we've been trending up. So since making those lows in early July, the number of stocks that the number of declining issues, that have been deteriorating over the last 6 weeks has progressed higher. So we've seen fewer and fewer stocks moving or declining on this advance. However, recently we've seen a little weakness in terms of the number of stocks advancing. So I could draw in a little slight trend line there as we've reached an inflection point. But initially, we need to see a break of this rising trend line to suggest that this uptrend is diminishing or breaking based upon breadth. So this is a breadth signal, something to watch, pretty simple and straightforward. Then one of our members, Market Guy, came up with a longer-term indicator, and this is somewhat interesting, and me and Matt played around with it. We've got to give him credit. It's an Arun with a 230 custom oscillator, and as you can see, it ties in nicely with some turns off of the 50 and 200 EMA on the daily chart. And honestly, it's had a couple of whipsaws, like all indicators. Nothing's perfect. But this indicator has recently gone on a sell signal. And we'll see, too, if this holds to be accurate and starts to suggest at least some type of correction to the downside. So there's some food for thought for you, and it comes from Market Guy, who produced that. He deserves the credit. Chart 38 is a view of the VIX. You can see the VIX closed at its lowest level now in quite some time. The S&P has yet to confirm this, but normally the VIX leads. So we'll see on the S&P. Normally the VIX leads to the downside. Currently, it's trending down, remaining below its 200-day moving average. I've drawn in a little slight downtrend line. Is this a wedge? Well, if it is, it's not an ideal-looking wedge. But again, we'll keep our eye on things. Another indicator here is the volatility index, VIX, against the CBO, against the new methodology. This ratio of the VIX-VXW, when it gets down into low levels, around 0.85, has often marked some tops in terms of the S&P. Now, here again, nothing's perfect. We saw a false signal back in July of 2009. This is the same time when we had that failed head and shoulders pattern. So again, it just points out probabilities that when this indicator gets down into this area, we normally get some type of pullback in the S&P. How deep, how far, remains to be seen. So we go on and look at chart 40, and we can see what's happened when this ratio gets a little bit too low. And you can see, even going back to early 2010, we got a one-day pullback, we got a couple-day pullback, then we got a nice pullback. Here again in March, we got a couple-day pullback, then we had a little dancing around in the April time frame before it finally let loose to the downside. So again, is this the paradigm, or is this the holy grail of indicators? No, nothing is. But again, it's something like the Arun above that says, hey, this helps support the bearish case in that these indicators are typically in this position when we get some type of reversal. Again, price is king, and we trade off of price, but we're making you aware of some of the indicators. And then finally, here's the indicator table with some of its components below. I'm not going to go over the components, as the indicators are either pointing up or down on the table, self-explanatory. And as you can see right now, all of our intermediate indicators are pointing up. They don't perfectly call reversals, so be aware of that. We'll reverse down a ways before a lot of these indicators start rolling over. But for now, they are all pointing up. And in terms of the longer-term indicators, we've got a mixed bag there with a couple pointing to the downside, a couple pointing up. Again, those are guides, not something to trade off of as triggers. Okay? Overall, let's keep our eye on the NYSI summation on the weekly chart. That has been a very effective indicator for us. But more importantly, as we enter next week, let's see how this wedge that's clearly in place resolves itself and act accordingly. Take care and have a great evening.